Good morning, Church. My name is Elizabeth, for those who haven't met me. I have the pleasure and the blessing of reading the Bible this morning. We are reading Leviticus chapter 26, and from the Church Bibles, it is on page 101. Do not make idols or set up an image or a sacred stone for yourselves, and do not place a carved stone in your land to bow down before it. I am the Lord your God. Observe my Sabbaths and have reverence for my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, I will send you rain in its season, and the ground will yield its crops and the trees their fruit. Your threshing will continue until grape harvest, and the grape harvest will continue until planting. And you will eat all the food you want and live in safety in your land. I will grant peace in the land, and you will lie down, and no one will make you afraid. I will remove wild beasts from the land, and the sword will not pass through your country. You will pursue your enemies, and they will fall by the sword before you. Five of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000, and your enemies will fall by the sword before you. I will look on you with favor and make you fruitful and increase your numbers, and I will keep my covenant with you. You will still be eating last year's harvest when you have to move it out to make room for the new. I will put my dwelling place among you, and I will not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, so that you would no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled you to walk with heads held high. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone. My name is David. I'm one of the ministry apprentices here at Trinity Church, Para Hills. I'd like you to transport yourselves to roughly 3,500 years ago. Just imagine that for a moment. Imagine that you're a slave in Egypt. You're a slave in the most powerful empire in the world. And it's not just you, it's your family. It's your clan, it's the whole nation of Israel. For 400 years, you've all suffered in Egypt. For generations, your people have cried out to whatever God is out there to rescue them. The whole nation is crying to whatever God is out there to rescue all of you. And just when it seems like none of the gods are answering, there is one who answers. There is one God who heard your cries and comes to rescue all of you. This God sends all the signs, he sends all the miracles to rescue you from Egypt. And the good news is the whole nation of Israel, you are rescued. You know, all these signs and miracles show that this God is, without a doubt, the only God who is above all gods. In fact, there are no other gods like him. Because no other gods could do what this God did. This God is committed to living with his rescued people. In fact, that's why he rescued. Yeah, and despite some serious mishaps along the way, you know, God is still committed to living with you, his rescued people. Okay, you can stop imagining now for a moment because you're not Israelites living at Mount Sinai 3,500 years ago. But that's what's happened so far leading up to the book of Leviticus. So far in Leviticus, we've seen that it's about God who's committed to living with the people he rescued. He's committed to live with the Israelites. God gives them laws in all areas of life to show them how to live with him. And the passage that Elizabeth just read out for us, it's in chapter 26, which is towards the end of the book. And as we come towards the end of the book, God is essentially laying out the big picture of what it looks like to live with him and what it looks like to live away from him. You know, if the Israelites live with God, which is expressed in obedience to him, then God will bless them. But if the Israelites live away from God, which is expressed in disobedience, then God will discipline them. You know, Australians, when we hear the word obedience, we kind of cringe, right? Like, it's not a cool word. It's not a word that we like. Because obedience sounds like like following a bunch of rules. But that's not the case in the Bible. In fact, obedience to God is an expression of trust. It's to live with God. If you live with someone you trust, you'd listen to them and you do as they say, right? And in that case, you obey not so you can get what you want, but you obey because you trust that it's good for you. So obedience is an expression of trust. It's to live with God. And it's worth remembering that Leviticus takes place after the Israelites have already been rescued from Egypt. And this is important to know, because the Israelites aren't called to obey so that they can be rescued. That's not what it's about. The Israelites are called to obey because they've been rescued. And so it's worth remembering these two points. The first one is that obedience is an expression of trust. It's to live with God. And the Israelites are called to obey because they've been rescued, not the other way around. And so we're going to look at what the passage says and then look at what it means for us today, 3,500 years later. As we get into the passage, the big question we're asking is it good to obey God? Is it good to obey God? So let's get straight into the passage. There are four things here that we see in chapter 26, the first one. There is only one God who saved the Israelites. Have a look at what God says to Moses in verse 1. Do not make idols or set up an image or a sacred stone for yourselves, and do not place a carved stone in your land to bow down before it. I am the Lord your God. When the Israelites were in Egypt, they were worshipping a bunch of gods because that's what the Egyptians around them were doing. And when God reminds them not to worship other gods, he's undoing generations of idol worship in Egypt. He's teaching them that he's the only God. And then have a look at what God says to Moses in verse 13. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, so that you would no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled you to walk with heads held high. The reason the Israelites are free is because God rescued them. The Israelites didn't save themselves. No other gods rescued them. And so God reminds them not to worship other gods because he alone saved the Israelites. So the first thing we see in the passage is that God is the only one who saved Israel. And the second thing that we see in this passage is that God will bless Israel if they obey. He blesses obedience. So if Israel obeys, then God will bless them. Have a look at what God says to Moses in verse 3. If you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, then from verses 4 to 12, God will bless them with so many things. Have a look. God will bring the blessing of rain in its season in verse 4. Rain at the right time means no drought, right? And no drought means there'll be food. So if Israel obeys, then God will bring the blessing of productive work in verse 5. The Israelites will be threshing until grape harvest, and they'll harvest until it's planting season. It's just productive work. Imagine how enjoyable and rewarding that would be, where work is just good. It's just, you're just seeing good results constantly. It's not tiring. It's good. And because work is always productive, God will bless them with plenty of food. I mean, there's so much food that they'll have to make room for more food. Like, that's in verse 10. And more food means more feasts with God and people, right? Who doesn't love feasts, like getting around good food with people, having a good time, having a laugh, have good chats? That's good, isn't it? And if Israel obeys, God will bring the blessing of safety and peace. It would look like no wild animals out and about or enemies coming in to attack in verses 5 to 6. You know, safety and peace means no harm. So the Israelites can always feel safe and lie down in peace. You know, imagine going to bed at night and not needing to lock your doors. Imagine not needing to have locks or security cameras or roller shutters at all, because that's the peace that God is promising here. Like, how good is that? That's the kind of safety that he brings if the Israelites live with him. And all of these blessings are good. And they're good because God is living with them. Have a look at what God says to Moses in verses 11 to 12. I will put my dwelling place among you, and I will not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. God is the one who brings these good blessings to people living with him, and it's for the Israelites to enjoy. So for the Israelites, living with God and obeying him means that there will be rain in its season, productive work, plenty of food, safety and peace, and enjoying all of this with God. This sounds like an amazing place to be, right? Like, this is the place where people would want to be at. Like, you don't want to miss out being here. And notice how in verse 13, God reminds the Israelites that he rescued them from Egypt. And this reminds the Israelites to obey because they've been saved. It's not obey and then you earn it. This is not a salvation by works thing. And that's important because God rescued the Israelites so that they could enjoy all these good blessings with God by obeying him. So is it good to obey God? I think we've seen that it's very good to obey God. But what if the Israelites don't obey him? What if they don't want to live with him? What if they want to walk away from him? You know, thankfully, God's mapped that out for them as well. Elizabeth didn't read this part out for us, but this brings us to the third point in the passage, and this is from verses 14 to 39. God warns against disobedience. And if you have a look in your Bibles, you might notice that the discipline for disobedience is longer than the blessing section. Yeah, there's a lot. There's a bunch of curses, and curses is the absence of blessing. It's the absence of what is good from God. It's the absence of God, really. That's the curse. And if you might think it's because God gets if he gets a kick out of seeing people getting cursed, that's not it. That's not the case. God doesn't get a kick out of it at all. He's not having a laugh. He wants the Israelites to realize how bad life can be if they walk away from him. He disciplines them so that they won't keep walking away from him. He disciplines them so that they would turn back to him, turn back to what is good. And God gives the Israelites plenty of warnings, plenty. There's five of them. That's why it's long. You know, he's laid out the whole picture here of what it looks like if they disobey. Starting in verse 14, if Israel disobeys, then the first warning is physical and mental diseases. There's unproductive work. And if the Israelites don't turn back to God after this first warning, then there's going to be a food shortage because there's no rain. And if after that they don't turn back still, then there's no more safety because wild animals will start attacking. And if after that they still don't turn around and keep walking away from him, then war and plagues break out everywhere. And if after that they don't turn back to him, then the final curse is division and exile. This is by far the worst one. This is a death sentence, pretty much. The Israelites will be away from God and scattered everywhere. There's no more blessings. The warnings just get intense. And it's to the point where it's the opposite of life with God. It's lifeless without God. It's death without God. But God takes disobedience seriously. And we see it because of how long it is. It's longer than the blessing section. We've seen that it's so good to obey God, but it's not good to disobey God. But even if the Israelites disobey to the point they get exiled, God will still restore them if they turn back to him. Which brings us to the last thing in this passage for today, is that God will restore the Israelites if they return back to him. Yeah, God tells Moses from verses 40 to 46, he says, if the Israelites confess and pay for their sins, that he will restore them. God won't let them get destroyed completely, because when the Israelites confess and pay for their sins and turn back to him, God is faithful to keep his promises to their ancestors. He's faithful to his promises, even if the Israelites were disobedient and unfaithful to him. Isn't it a good and gracious thing for God to restore the Israelites after they disobeyed, after all those warnings? So to summarize what we've seen in the passage today, we've seen that there is only one God who saved the Israelites. And if Israel obeys, then God will bless them. And we've seen that it is good to obey God. If Israel disobeys, then there'll be discipline. And we've seen that it's not good to disobey him. But if Israel turns back to God, he promises to restore them. God's laid out the whole picture here of what living with him looks like. And it looks good. It looks good. Obedience to God brings blessing. That part in itself is good. But disobedience just does not look good at all. And at this point in the book of Leviticus, with chapter 26 being towards the end of the book, God is really saying to the Israelites, if you trust me, and by now you should, if you trust me and you want to experience all these good blessings, live with me. Obey me. But sadly, the Israelites don't obey God. We see that time and time again throughout the Old Testament history, they failed to obey. Until we get to the one who does obey. We get to Jesus. Jesus is the one who obeyed. Israel failed to be obedient, but Jesus never failed. He never did. Israel's obedience would have led to blessings had they obeyed, but Jesus, he was fully obedient, even to the point of death on the cross. And Jesus didn't experience any of the blessings for obedience. In fact, he suffered for it. He suffered. And that doesn't make any sense, right, in light of what we read today. But that's because Jesus' obedience didn't fail. It fulfilled something. Because of Jesus and his obedience, we've been rescued from something bigger than Egypt. We've been rescued from sin and death. Sin and death are what separates us from God. We're unable to save ourselves from it. Just as the Israelites were unable to save themselves from Egypt, we can't save ourselves from sin and death. But Jesus has done what we couldn't do. He dealt with sin and death on the cross, and he defeated it in his resurrection. And that means we can be with God again. And so there's nothing that stands between us and God anymore for those who believe in Jesus. When Jesus returns to bring the new creation, there'll be no more sin and death. And that's the hope that we have. Have a look at what it says here in Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. It's the last book of the Bible. It's written after Jesus came. And here, this is Jesus speaking. The author wrote down, Jesus says this about the new creation. Nothing impure will ever enter it. Nor anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Sin and death is impure, and because Jesus rescued us from it and defeated it, it won't be in the new creation. You know, the only things that belong are the names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the names of those who believe in Jesus. Because of Jesus, we get to experience the blessings that come from his perfect obedience. We get to share in the life and the joy of God forever in the new creation. We get to experience it by believing in him. Yeah, it's great news. But it's important to see that Jesus didn't only rescue us from sin and death, he also rescued us for the new creation. You know, it's the place where God lives with his rescued people. He lives with us. It's the place we can enjoy all the good blessings that he's promised. The good blessings that we've seen in our passage today, where there's plenty of food, where work is productive, where there's safety and peace, no fear. You know, imagine all the feasts we're going to have together with God. I'm looking forward to that. You know, imagine the joy of working and seeing good results all the time. Work won't be tiring. You won't be knackered. You're just going to be the joy of seeing your fruit growing all the time. It's great. Now, how good would work be? You know, imagine not having to worry about losing your job. Imagine letting your kids run wild for days and not have to worry about safety because you know they'll be safe. You know, how good are all these things? And it's not just that, but since there's no more sin, no more death, it means there's no more aches, no more persistent pains in your joints, no more cancer, no more funerals. We'll have new bodies that will never wear out or break down. Yeah, the new creation is a really good place. It's the place that you were rescued for. It's the place that Jesus has rescued you for. And we have Jesus to thank for that, because it wasn't our obedience that secured these things. There's nothing we could do to earn any of this. It's all Jesus. And until Jesus comes back to bring the new creation, he has called us to live a life of obedience to him. Because knowing what Jesus has done, it doesn't mean that you get a free pass to do whatever you want now, or you just kick your feet up and wait for him to return. It doesn't mean that obedience doesn't matter. That's not what this is about. Obedience still matters. God still calls his rescued people to live lives in obedience to him in every area. Not just some, but all areas. Not just that church, but in your family life, in your finances, in your work life, all of life. So are there any areas in your life right now where you haven't completely trusted God with? Are there any areas that you are holding back from him? Maybe it's an area where you know what God says. It's an area that you know what God tells you to do, but you've been reluctant to obey because obedience just feels a bit costly. But if there's anything that we've seen from today's passage, is that Leviticus 26 reminds us that God calls his rescued people for, you know, wholehearted obedience, all of it. And that's the same call for us as well. Not so they can earn his favor, but because you already have it in Jesus. You don't obey to be rescued, you obey because you've been rescued. And when you fail to obey, you don't have to be afraid or hide it from God. You can turn back to him, repent. You know, that's one of the great things about our God, is that you can turn back to him. We saw that in the passage today. you can confess to him. And he is just and faithful to forgive. So if there are areas you realize you need to turn back to God for, bring them to him, friends. Because Jesus forgives and will help you to keep walking in obedience. Jesus will grow you to love what he loves. And Jesus will grow you to trust him more and more. And he'll always be with you until he returns. He's promised that. But that raises an important question in our passage today. You know, we saw that obedience brings blessing and disobedience brings discipline. We've seen that it's good to obey God. But so what does that mean for us today? Should I expect blessings if I obey God? If I obey Jesus, should I expect him to bless me? Well, the answer is yes, but not in the way that we might think. The blessings given to the Israelites was under the old covenant, under the old promises. God gave it to them, specifically to them, 3,500 years ago. It's not for us. But that doesn't mean that God no longer blesses obedience. He still does. We see that in the New Testament. But as Christians, we're not promised those exact blessings the Israelites were promised. You know, we're not promised plenty of food or productive work, safety and peace. Though we'll experience that in the new creation, but there's no guarantee that we'll experience in this life. But what we do know is the blessings we have in Jesus, what we do know is we have the blessings of the forgiveness of sins. And because of the forgiveness of sins, we have peace with God. And because of what Jesus has done, we're loved by God. And we're able to love God back as well. We have the blessing of God living in us right now, the God who dwells in us by the Holy Spirit. And we have hope for the new creation. These are all very good blessings in Jesus. So yes, God brings blessings for obedience for us today as well, but not because we've earned it, but because of what Jesus has done. And as we walk with Jesus, God blesses us with spiritual blessings to live like Jesus. As we grow in obedience, we grow in joy, we grow in love, we grow in peace. You know, we grow in all these things that come from Jesus and living with him and obeying him. Now, that doesn't mean that obedience will make life easier. Life can still be hard. You know, I understand that some of you are struggling with persistent pain. I understand that some of you are grieving right now. Perhaps you're in the middle of a broken relationship that seems impossible to fix. And, you know, obeying Jesus won't necessarily make those things disappear soon. But even then, obedience is not wasted, because obedience keeps you close to God. You know, when you choose to pray instead of giving up, you draw near to God. When you choose forgiveness instead of bitterness, as hard as that sounds, even in those painful and broken relationships, you learn how to love like Jesus loves you. You become more like Jesus. And when you choose hope instead of despair, you look forward to the new creation that Jesus secured, all those great blessings that we spoke about. You know, these are real blessings that come with obedience, that comes with living with God, even when times are tough. Yeah, so friends, keep trusting, keep following Jesus in all of your life, because Jesus is not only worth obeying when life is easy, he's worth following in every season, in every part of life, especially when it's tough. He knows what we go through and will help us to live in obedience to him. Friends, I hope you're encouraged to keep trusting Jesus, to keep living with Jesus, to keep listening to what he says, and to do what he says. Not just in some areas of your life, but all of it. God calls you to a life of obedience to him today, and he'll carry you all the way until Jesus returns. Why don't I pray? Heavenly Father, we come before you and give you thanks for what Jesus has done. Because of what he's done, that we can come to you in prayer like this right now and give you thanks for the work that he did. It's truly amazing, and we do ask that you continue to grow us in obedience. We pray that in times when it is very tough, that you help us to keep persevering by your Spirit, that you give us strength. And for those of us who are in the easy stages of life right now, we pray that you'll continue to grow them in those areas, that they'll continue to just celebrate and enjoy the good blessings that you've given them. Father, we do thank you, and we pray that you'll continue to teach us a whole life of obedience until Jesus comes back. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.